shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, everywhere, where other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We've been off since Friday. Last night, the show was a best of. We were working on the great Paul Scheer-produced NTSF SD-SUV.
Yeah.
And we thank you for being with us tonight. I'll give you a little background on how we did on the what the show we were shooting yesterday was all about as we get further into our news and entertainment hour later on. I want to bring on the line with me Don Berman at Turner's tonight. And Don, I know you're getting ready to do a newscast later on. There's a little bit of a confrontation between yourself and your and the TV station Channel 19 with regard to editorial opinion. It has to do with the George Zimmerman case, correct?
Yes, Bill, that is correct.
Can you tell me, and I know that things are a little noisy there, can you tell me what that is?
If you want, Phil, I'll move out. I can move John's office, right? All right. I'll move into John Bingle's office if I can. I don't know. The tension is that the George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin story is an enormous story. It's a front-page story, and it's not going to be going away anytime soon. Now, today, you saw the news, and your audience, I'm sure, is aware of the news to some degree, that Mr. Martin's attorneys have quit the case. The result of Mr. Zimmerman. I keep saying Mr. Martin, Phil. I keep making that mistake.
Yeah, it's Mr. Zimmerman is the man who's on who is right now in the spotlight as the shooter.
That is correct. Mr. Zimmerman's attorneys quit the case today. Now, the reason they gave for this is that Mr. Zimmerman has given statements at least to one media outlet, which I find just unconscionable, given the amount of media interest there is in this story, for Zimmerman to give a interview to some talk show host who I don't know who it is. Do you?
I don't. I can find that out. It was a TV talk show host. It might have been somebody very prominent, but at this point, I don't know.
Well, I find that to be unconscionable that Zimmerman, who has been developing a great deal of support around the country, and for a man who has been developing that support around the country, for this guy, Mr. Zimmerman, to suddenly give this comment to the news media, one news outlet, and leave the rest of us high and dry, I think that is unconscionable. And it shows, I think, some either stupidity on his part or a lack of fairness on his part, or perhaps just a lack of savvy.
Well, don't you think this is a little bit of a lack of media savvy? This guy seems to be nervous. He seems to be a guy that's just nervous.
Well, let me just make a comment on that. First of all, the attorneys have quit because he not only reached out to the news media, but he also has been trying to contact the prosecutor, the special prosecutor that was named by the governor of Florida, Rick Scott. And that is obviously something that's going to get your attorney's interest. So there's all kinds of things happening today. And I have developed an editorial point of view on this case, Phil, as we do. I've been thinking about it, and I've been looking at it, and I've been going over the facts of the case, going over the sociological background of the case, and doing my own due diligence at Channel 19 to formulate an editorial opinion. This is a very competitive business that we're in, and there's a lot of different newsrooms in this city and across this country that are competing for the interest of the television news viewer. And unless you have not only good crack reporters in the field, good news writers, and just a great team going out and getting that news, unless you have them and you have the ability to put a perspective on the table for the viewer to mull over, a unique perspective, you're going to get left in the rush, so to speak. It's a very competitive business. And this is something that we need at Channel 19, which is to remain competitive.
And so have you, you say that you've developed an editorial opinion. I know you give these editorials twice a week.
In our perspective section, yes. But my opinion on this case, on the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case, came about after a great deal of thought and a great deal of preparation. So I went to Don Dudley To Dan Dudley, excuse me. I went to Dan Dudley and I went to Angela Hextall, who are both our managers and sales manager of Channel 19, and told them. And they gave me their decision this evening, and they said to me, as long as I don't talk about specifics, I could mention it to you. They have told me that they will not allow.
They will not?
That's correct. They will not allow my editorial opinion to be heard by our viewers of Channel 19 and other interested parties in any venue. So I won't be able to announce it. I won't be able to give an editorial opinion on Channel 19, and I won't be able to give it in print. And
so you're on my show tonight. You won't even be able to give it here tonight.
Well, this is what I wanted to say to you, and here is what I think is an opportunity for you. I would like to give you the broad outlines of what my editorial opinion is, and if it's acceptable to you, I would like to go ahead and give it on your show tonight.
What about what they told you at Channel 19?
Well, what they told me what Angela Hextall told me and Dan Dudley told me was they didn't want this on Channel 19's airwaves. They didn't want it in print. They didn't want me talking about it on your radio show. But I believe contractually I am allowed to discuss in other media outside of print and television what my opinions are. And I feel that I have...
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's your contract, okay?
That's exactly correct.
It's your contract. It's your relationship. If you want to jeopardize that...
No, I don't believe that I will be. What I desperately want to do, and what I implore you, Phil, to allow me to do, is to give the audience, some measure of the audience, what my editorial view is. And then you can decide if it is something worthy of your airwaves.
Regardless of what your boss is...
Regardless of what Channel 19 is thinking, because I don't know at this particular point. You know, if they consider me a loose cannon, they're just as much loose cannons as me.
Well, tell me, when you see the broad outlines, what do you mean?
What I mean is this. The George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case is racial, but not racial in the sense that you and I would think it. It is not white versus black. It is much more specific, and I think much more charged. It is a racial situation, George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin, in that it is a Hispanic black racial issue. So these are two racial groups, if you will, and I understand that Hispanic people are Caucasian, but subracially or subculturally, they are Hispanic. Now, I'd like to get into why I feel this is the case. First of all, you know that George Zimmerman is Hispanic and that young Mr. Martin was black. There are historical reasons for the animosity between these two groups. Number one, something as simple and as obvious, if you look at the history of how these two racial groups were treated in the United States, if you look at which racial group tended, if you want to use the old stereotype of house versus outside, which racial group tended to be the domestic inside the house? It was the African American. Which racial group tended to work outside in the field, if you will? It was the Hispanic. This has been simmering with Hispanic people. And
All right. Hold on for just a minute, okay?
Yes.
All right. I gotta be honest with you. This point of view that you're discussing seems. I understand it's your opinion, but it seems rather far-fetched, and it also seems like it's going. It's an opinion that would further inflame and exacerbate rather than give some perspective that would calm people down.
Well, you know that I heard not the same opinion, but I got the same attitude or answer from Channel 19, which was essentially, you're telling me you don't want me to go on with this opinion.
It's hard for me to say yes to that, because when you say that this is a problem having to do with, it's racial, but it's a subracial thing between Hispanics and blacks, not whites and blacks, We're only going to get deeper and deeper into some really highly charged. We're only going to get deeper and deeper into an issue that is not easily explained on a radio show. Okay.
Well, but I'm giving the opinion, Phil. I'm a longtime newscaster, and
I understand that, Don, and I respect that. And you're a television newscaster. This is radio, so people don't see the face, they don't see the body language, they don't see the graphics that you might be able to use. So if we have to do everything with our voices.
Well, you're telling me no, but you're not giving me the reasons. You don't want me to come on your show and say that George Zimmerman might have had in the back of his mind anger at the fact that Hispanics tend to be lower on the social order than black people.
Well, you just got the opinion out, and I that's what I'm afraid of, you know.
You're afraid of what? The truth?
I don't know that that is the truth. For you to say that Hispanics are lower on the social order than black people, I don't know if that's the truth in the way that you say it, but you say it as if it's a fact. And
well, I say it as if it's a fact. I don't know how you can look at it any other way when they're the ones that wound up as gardeners. They're the ones that wound up.
All right, see, that's what I mean. It begins to get into areas that I'm not comfortable with. I have to take a break, okay?
Well, so is the answer, all right, that's good enough. But you're telling me the answer is yes or no, or you're telling me it's up in the air?
I'm telling you that the answer is no. I can't have that on my airwaves. But I'd like you to hang on. And
well, I don't know what I'm hanging on for. You know,
just please hang on, if you wouldn't mind. Don Berman from Channel 19 News discussing the Martin Zimmerman story. And from the standpoint that he has an editorial opinion, Channel 19 will not let him put on the air. He's telling me about it right now, trying to get it on our airwaves. And I have to be honest with you, I don't like it either. It's basically he's saying that Zimmerman has, it was a long-standing problem as a Hispanic Zimmerman had against Martin, who is black. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Don Berman from Channel 19 News. He's at Turner's Restaurant in Hollywood tonight as we talk with him about an editorial opinion that was, essentially, it was removed from the air. It was forbidden by Channel 19 to be expressed by Mr. Berman. You're the news director there.
I am not only a news director, Phil, I'm the editorial director for our newscast. And for Channel 19 to tell me that I cannot go on the air with this opinion.
Have they ever told you before that you're not allowed to go on the air with a certain opinion?
Never. Never. They have. I have free reign to give opinion. That's what an editorial opinion is. And that's why we disclaim every editorial opinion. As you know, Phil, you'll say, as you're familiar, Channel 19 does not endorse or condone this point of view. This does not necessarily reflect the views of management. So these kinds of disclaimers allow separation from the station, from the corporate entity, and the individual. We've always done this.
And so you've never had them say, don't give an opinion?
Well, I haven't had them in a situation like this. I've had problems in the past, as you know. I had a, as you know, a very well-publicized drinking problem. I had a very well-publicized situation having to do with a relationship with a young lady. These were all things that were publicized, and when I wanted to clarify, I was told I was not allowed to. In this case, I don't know why I can't go on the air with this opinion.
Well, it's an explosive one again. Let me just say to my audience, I'll let you articulate it. How far into it we're going to be able to go? I don't know.
Well, how far into it we're going to... Yeah, I don't understand that, but my opinion is this, simply this. George Zimmerman is Hispanic. Trayvon Martin was black. Hispanics and blacks have had their own animosity down through the years. I believe that Martin was subconsciously, Zimmerman was subconsciously...
Why do you keep calling him George Martin?
I don't keep calling him George. I called him George Martin. It's probably because of the music producer.
Yeah, it's George Zimmerman. I want to make sure we get these names right. This is very important.
Yes, sir.
I apologize, Don.
Well, I know what his name is.
I apologize. I'm trying to make sure that people don't get confused.
I understand. George Zimmerman, as a Hispanic, subconsciously has working in him, I believe, a Hispanic factor. And that is that the Hispanic, which was at one time a native of the... many Hispanics were native to American soil and even owned large portions of land. Today, the Hispanic and the African-American... not today, but then as they began to move up through American society... It takes a long time to explain this. Can I just...
Well, say however you would say it on TV.
Well, what I'm saying is Hispanics have worked as gardeners and black people have worked as butlers. That is a difference sociologically that would explain animosity between the Hispanic and the black. That's all I'm trying to say.
Hispanics have worked as gardeners and blacks have worked as butlers, and that is a difference that sociologically would explain animosity.
I didn't say sociologically, but...
All right, but that's a difference that would explain animosity from Hispanic to black.
Yes, and that is a small part, and that could have been the trigger. You know, we can talk all we want about whether... George Zimmerman was a racist from the standpoint of being white. I think if we talk about him being a racist as a Mexican, and...
Yeah, see, this is...
Well, hold on. What are you interrupting me for?
To me, it's a very far-fetched. And
why do you say it's far-fetched?
Because it's not something that is... I don't believe it's something that is a given that Hispanics work as butlers,
Hispanics working as gardeners. As gardeners. That is an example of Hispanic rage against black. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And no, I don't want that on my airwaves, okay?
Well, you just let me say Hispanic rage, and...
I think that's asinine to call that Hispanic rage, or that there is, quote, unquote, Hispanic rage...
What, do you believe in black rage?
Hispanic rage, what?
Do you believe in black rage?
No, I don't believe in black rage.
Wow, you don't?
No, I do not. No, I do not.
You don't believe that there is a condition called black rage that...
No, I do not. I believe that there is anger in everyone. I believe that anger vacillates between person. I don't believe that there is a psychological block sitting somewhere in the psyche of African Americans that they are the only ones that have. I haven't heard a psychological opinion given that is shared by an overwhelming number of psychologists that they assent to this.
Well, wait a minute. You know that Carl Jung and...
Well, let's get off of Carl Jung, okay? And we're just talking about...
Carl Jung said we have racial memory, didn't he?
Yes, Carl Jung said that.
Well, then why wouldn't black rage and Hispanic rage exist?
I don't know that there's... racial memory that Carl Jung talks about goes back millions of years. Millions, not tens of thousands, millions of years.
You're full of...
Well, how can you bring up something like Carl Jung and racial memory and black rage and Hispanic rage and then just say I'm full of crap?
Because I don't think you're thinking this through. Now, I believe, and I think it would be borne out by your callers if you allowed them to get on the air, that there is an attitude among Hispanics that blacks get it all and they're left with, you know, sucking hind you-know-what in the exhaust. That they're out working, that they're out mowing the lawn, and the black people are in the house. And
in this day and age, the 21st century, that doesn't even, it's not even a viable thing anymore.
No, but back in the day is what I'm saying. Hence the Hispanic rage.
I don't buy it. And Channel 19 doesn't buy it. That's why they won't let you on the air with it. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Don Berman with us on here talking about the reasons George Zimmerman might have shot Trayvon Martin, Hispanic rage. That is that Hispanics have been traditionally the gardeners, blacks work in the house. And I won't let him articulate it either on this show. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and with me is Don Berman over at Turner's Tonight in Hollywood before a newscast. I know you have an 11 o'clock, Don. We're talking about the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case, in which George Zimmerman, a neighborhood watch captain, shot and killed Trayvon Martin. There is a dispute as to what happened, but he was armed. Trayvon Martin was not. That's what's got a lot of people up in arms, and it appears as if this was an unwarranted shooting. On the line with me is Don Berman, saying that there was a racial motive, but not the one we think.
No, I think the racial motive, Phil, is much more subtle, and that is that Zimmerman was Hispanic, and the animosity, Hispanic rage...
This Hispanic rage is the one that I'm...
I know you don't understand it, but it that was my editorial opinion that I wanted to give on Channel 19, and I was told, no, you can't.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go over to a phone call here tonight. We have John on the line. Go ahead, John. You're on with Don Berman from Channel 19. What's your comment?
Talking about the Hispanic versus black, but he's actually half white.
Well, no, I know he's half white, but in our culture, in America, we don't really... I think it pretty much is certain that if you have Hispanic blood or black blood, for instance, that's what you are. I don't know whether that's right or not, but I doubt very seriously if someone who looks African-American and has black blood, but also has white blood, I doubt seriously if anyone's going to say that's a white man.
Well, what do you mean?
What do I mean?
So, Zimmerman, is he white or is he... See, Hispanic is white. I think maybe we're getting into a...
That's exactly right. We already know that Hispanic people are Caucasian.
All right. So we know that George Zimmerman is white, but what we're talking about here is what?
We're talking about subculturally. He's Hispanic. Are you... What race are you, sir?
I'm white.
But yes, I know. But are you Hispanic or are you...
No, both my parents are white.
No, I know. I know that. But Hispanic is white, too. So are you Hispanic?
No.
What are you?
What are you asking?
Caucasian.
What? No. What country of origin other than America did your people come from? Are they from Europe? Are they from Asia? Are they from Africa? Are they from India? Are they... You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Where are your people from?
I guess European.
But you don't know, see? So that could mean that your people are from Africa.
That's possible.
All right, so what's the point?
Well, then the point would be that in his genetic makeup is the African, whatever that is, the African thing.
What's the African thing? This is why Channel 19 is not going to let you on the air with this editorial opinion. And
black rage. Do you ever feel black rage? That's a stupid question to ask you, John, but what I'm trying to do is pin down when you aren't sure where you're from. You know? Do you ever feel black rage?
No.
All right.
Why would he feel black rage if he's white and he identifies with being white?
Well, and the Hispanic rage. So what you have with George Zimmerman is a man who's white. One of the problems I'm having now is John calling in and you asking me questions. You have thrown me off of my point of view. I don't know what my point of view is. And
you had a point of view. If your point of view is clear at all, your point of view was that there's Hispanic rage from George Zimmerman to Trayvon Martin, and that's why he shot him, because Hispanics are tired of being gardeners.
Yeah, I know, but now it doesn't sound all that good. And it has to do with talking to this man. What's your name again, John?
John.
When you said that he's part white, that doesn't... God.
Well, what are you?
Are you white? I used to think I was white. But
where's your people from?
My people come from... I think they're from France and... France and like Yugoslavia or something. There's a whole mix.
You're not sure.
That I'm not sure of. Yeah, exactly. And so.
Well, do you feel any black rage?
Don't be funny, Phil.
Well, you asked this gentleman the same question. Let me get Dave on the line here. Dave Oliva is an LAPD trainee. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Mr. I wanted to ask this man a question about this Hispanic rage that he's talking about. I'm Hispanic and I don't feel no rage at black people or anything.
You're Hispanic and you what?
I said I'm Hispanic. I don't feel no black rage. I mean, not black rage. I don't feel Hispanic rage at no one. I want to be a police officer. That's what I want to be. And, you know...
You want to be a police officer, which I think is an aggressive thing. Do you want to become a police officer so you can start gunning for blacks?
No, I don't.
What a thing to ask a guy.
No, I don't. I don't want to do that at all.
Listen, I want to let John go, too. John, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Go ahead, Dave. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, I mean, this gentleman is saying that I'm supposed to feel some level of animosity toward blacks. You know, I want to be a police officer, okay?
I know. You've already said that you want to be a police officer. I understand that. But how does that negate the Hispanic rage?
I don't feel any Hispanic rage.
When I told you that your ancestors most likely worked as gardeners and blacks were in the house...
Yeah, I know. That's a lot of that old-timey thinking, you know, that does not have anything to do with anything anymore.
I know it isn't like that anymore, but it's genetic. You know, like I was saying to the other gentleman, I know that you may not think you're black, but if you have any kind of black rage...
So, in other words, if I look in the mirror in the morning and...
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to talk to this young man. So, do you?
No, sir, I do not have black rage.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean black rage. Do you have Hispanic rage? Well, you may have black rage.
Why would I have black rage?
If you have black blood.
I don't, as far as I know, have black blood. I have Hispanic blood, and I don't have no Hispanic rage.
Well, I can tell you that if you feel angry enough, that you feel there's something wrong with society, there's something that's not...
I'll tell you what's not adding up here is your point of view here is really weird, and you're trying to force a square peg into a round hole.
Well, I'm afraid you're going to have to be a little clearer, Phil, about my opinion than just saying it's really weird. And
I think there's a strange... I don't think it's well formulated. If you're saying you believe there's a thing called Hispanic rage based upon some sort of a traditional social roles of Hispanics versus blacks that do not exist anymore but did. And it is a genetic thing. Perhaps it is a racial memory thing, which is yet to be proven. But nonetheless...
Well, you just said there is a thing called racial memory.
Yeah, Mr. Henry said there's racial memory based on Carl Jung. But there is no body of evidence among psychologists that this is further refined to black rage or to Hispanic rage or Hispanic memory or black memory, you know?
Get a load of you. You're, well...
You were going to say, isn't that unusual for a Hispanic to know so much about psychology? Is that what you're going to say, sir?
No, I was not going to say it that way.
What way were you going to say it?
Yeah, what way were you going to say it? I'm not going to let you guys turn this around and turn it into a Don Berman indictment. This is not going to be a Don Berman, bonfire.
No, Don, you said that you feel a certain way about this case. And I'm telling you that it's wrong. I can't believe that we've spent the time that we have on it.
Well, I'm so sorry that I brought a topic to your show that you're scared of.
No. I'm not scared of it so much as I don't think it's a proper topic. I don't think it's well thought out. You're bringing into the show concepts of black rage, Hispanic rage, comparing it to Carl Jung's racial identity, which is a longstanding accepted theory by psychologists, as opposed to black rage or Hispanic rage.
Which is not yet, you know. And here's this guy. You're Mexican, right? Yes, sir. Well, I shouldn't say it.
You shouldn't say it, but you're going to say, here's a Mexican guy, and he knows all about psychology.
He knows more about it than I do, and you don't find that unusual.
No, sir, I don't find it unusual among stupid whites.
Whoa.
Hold on for a minute here. Just both of you guys. This theory that you have, Channel 19, now I got David Hall, who's our he's our vice president of syndication. Is he online?
Not yet.
Hold on for just a second here, Don. I got David G. Hall on the line here.
Well, I happen to know David G. Hall.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, Phil, this is Dave Hall. Don, how are you? Mr. Hall, how are you doing? And I believe you got a young man, Dave?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Yes, sir, good.
How long are you going to keep up with this, Berman? Because, I beg your pardon? How long are you going to stay with this idea about Hispanic rage or whatever you call it, because it's killing me?
What do you mean it's killing you?
I'm out here listening to this and it's killing me. You're talking about something that doesn't even exist. Mexicans upset. Look at my mother was Hispanic, and she may come from a long line of gardeners, for all I know.
Long line of gardeners, that's a good one.
No, that's real funny. Well, I mean, you may come from a long line of gardeners.
Maybe.
But I don't have any Hispanic rage tonight. I've just got good old-fashioned, you know, sick of hearing the topic kind of rage. I got Vice President of Syndication rage listening to this.
Mr. Hall, I was trying to make the point that...
Well, you made your point.
Hold on for a minute. I was trying to make the point that there is a... there's something going on with the Zimmerman.
Channel 19 wouldn't let you go on the air with it, did they?
Channel 19 wouldn't let me go on the air with it, did they? You messed that up.
What?
Look, Don, quit screwing around here. You know as well as I do that your opinion, your editorial opinion, was not allowed on the air by Channel 19 because it's not well thought out. It doesn't seem to be based in anything factual, cultural, or scientific. It's far-fetched, and that's why.
I've never, you know, it's one thing to sit there with Angela Hextell and Dan Dudley, who are a couple of idiots, and I'll say that on your show right now, Phil. The two people I work for at Channel 19, and they know this, are complete idiots. But I work for them, but they know that I have more power than they do, and so they're two absolute scientific imbeciles. It's one thing to have them tell me that, but for you to come on here and tell you that
what they told you, that's what I'm telling you.
And I'm sorry, Don, but I can't.
Hold on, I got to take another break here. Our number.
Well, you know, you take a break, and I. Well, we got to move on here.
What do you want me to do?
We're going to hang up on you. Thanks very much, Dave. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. Was Zimmerman's, the fact that he was part Hispanic, have something to do with some Hispanic rage that he had toward this young black man? 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Thank God we're out of it.
Yeah, me too.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I knew, and no one ever told me that.
That may be true. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don Berman with us from Channel 19 News. Along with me is David G. Hall, our vice president of syndication. The editorial opinion that Don Berman wanted to deliver on Channel 19 this past week, having to do with the Zimmerman-Martin case, was that George Zimmerman was acting from a deep-seated Hispanic rage toward blacks, having to do with the traditional socioeconomic roles of each ethnic group in this country.
Phil, this is David Hall.
Go ahead.
And to me, it's half-baked. I think that you were right. The only question I have is, why have you let this on the air as long as you have? I feel that that's a shortcoming of yours. You are to blame for that.
Well, at least he's not blaming me for the...
It's not about blame. It's about whether this is an opinion that Channel 19 should have let you have on the air in the first place. That's the question. I'm going to take a phone call here, 877-876-7445. This is Renee in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Renee. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. I got a question. This individual seems to be trying to socialize this, medialize this a little bit more on the basis of race. The whole point is one man with a gun shot another man, and we need to find out why.
But a Hispanic man with a gun
has nothing to do with race. If this was a black guy with a gun killing another black guy, this would have never hit the media. Okay? But everybody wants to point out either a white guy.
What if it was a white guy shooting another white guy?
It wouldn't have been the first time.
Oh really?
You know?
You wouldn't think that was a big news story? You ever heard of John Wilkes Booth and Abraham Lincoln? Thank you.
Oh come on! But you nuts! That's an assassination of a president.
That hasn't. In no comparison.
You were saying to me that race had nothing to do.
Race has gotten. This gentleman is saying, and I think he may be stating that there is enough violence in this country that is non-racial.
There's plenty of violence that's non-racial. But with Martin and Zimmerman, you've got a Hispanic. Yes, I know he's white, but he's subculture. Now you go down one level further, and we find out that he's Hispanic. And this gentleman, you don't see any validity
Mark,
in the argument.
How much of his existence is Hispanic, sir? Is he a quarter, a half, an eighth, a sixteenth?
Well, he's half.
Is there a scale at which a person by their ethnicity becomes racially motivated? Does it start it when they're a fourth, an eighth, a sixteenth, a half, or
well,
a
when do you when are you racially motivated? I can start with you. I'll ask you.
I'm not racially motivated at all. If you break the law or if you put your hands on me, that's a different story.
You're not racially motivated unless the law is being broken. Then you are.
Unless they're putting their hands on me, that's breaking the law.
All right, if they put their hands on you, then they become black. You said you're not racially motivated until the law is broken.
Is broken when that person puts their hands on me. That's when we have a problem.
That's when you're racially motivated.
No, I don't think that's what he meant.
Well, hold on for a minute, Phil. Don't speak for the man.
No.
Is that when you're racially motivated?
No, sir.
You said you weren't. You said you were not racially motivated.
The gentleman... The only thing that...
Phil, let the man say what he's saying, because when you jump in...
If I'm saying the wrong thing here, Renee, tell me. I think what you're saying is you're not racially... The only thing that motivates you is whether or not someone is breaking the law.
Breaking the law by putting your hands on anything
that's
else.
Me
or my family, that's when that comes into play. And it's not any kind of racial motivated or anything like that.
So in other words, if someone grabbed your daughter and he just so happened to be a big oily Hispanic and
I'd put a bullet between his eyes.
I told you he's racist.
He's not racist.
No, sir. I would put a bullet between his eyes and empty the chamber.
If he was Hispanic, and you said you'd put a bullet between his eyes.
And by the way, I am 100% Hispanic.
Mexican.
I'm an American. No, sir. I'm 100% Hispanic. But
Mexican.
I'm an American citizen, born and raised.
He said Hispanic.
He's Mexican.
No, it doesn't mean he's Mexican.
Hispanic.
He's Hispanic.
Sir, you obviously do not know the difference. Mexican is a nationality. Hispanic is an ethnicity. You apparently don't have your legality.
Well, sir, I can tell you that you didn't say the word ethnicity right. And
neither did you.
Yes, I most certainly did. If I've made a mistake, I apologize. What are you laughing at? You know, it's really funny. I tried to get... So you're telling me, if you are Hispanic, you're telling me you got no problem with blacks.
No, sir. They're
hey,
hearing
if
this
he
world,
says no,
like
you're
going
to have
else.
You got to take
like
his word for
else.
It.
They have just as much right here, just like all the white people, all the Asian people, all the Oriental people, all the
at
black
what
people.
Point,
it doesn't matter.
At what
we're
point
all
do
human,
you allow
sir.
At what point do you call
the,
someone
we have the
on their lives?
And the right to be here.
I think this man has said that he believes that everybody has the right. At what point do you call
they
people
the right
on their lives, Mr. Hendry?
Sir. They have the right
yes,
to
I know they have the right to exist. But you're telling me that as a Hispanic, you're not angry that your people spent most of the time gardening while blacks were in the house kicking it.
Blacks were in the house kicking it.
Well, you know what I mean.
Kicking it. Okay.
No, I don't. No, I don't know what you mean. What is it with you, man? You're trying to give an issue here that doesn't exist.
I'm trying to give an issue. You're saying that I don't talk good. I am trying to present a...
Talk good?
I'm trying to come up with God.
All right, listen, I appreciate your point of view tonight, Renee. I really do, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your call.
No problem at
thank
all.
Thank you, and have a good evening. 877-876-PHIL.
And I guess the hour's over, huh? You got that right. Mercifully, thank God this hour's over. And who am I speaking to?
It's David Hall.
It's David T. Hall. I've been on the line with you. And who's... So, Phil Hendry, you're the...
I'm here with David Hall.
What... Why was I allowed, I didn't know I'd be allowed on the air to sound like an ass. I thought you'd let me on the air to sound good. We let you on the air to say your opinion. No, you didn't. You let me on the air to sound like an ass.
I didn't know I'd make you sound like an ass.
I not mean no make you sound like, boy, you can't talk.
Phil
nobody
Henry.
Knows. I'm the only one what talk good.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and, well, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Coming up this hour, we're going to have a discussion with Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association and Parent Teacher Association. Discussion with her on the Charles Manson's parole hearing, right? And the arguments, pro and con. I got to tell you, it just makes me laugh hearing people say arguments, pro and con. I think it's the desperation of some of the news channels looking for how. Oh, yeah, what's the new take on Charles Manson up for parole again? I know. Let's have a debate. On whether he should be allowed to, you know, be released, or whether they should release Charles Manson. We'll have a debate, and that'll take up some good time. And so they find a guy who says, sure, yeah, I'll argue in favor of Charles Manson being released on parole, yeah. And they have themselves a stupid little debate, and that's what happens. Can't believe it. We got Ms. Dooley coming up here in a moment. 877-876-7445. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. A backstage pass affords you the opportunity to watch our live streaming video of the show each and every night on Phil TV and HD. And you can also, of course, listen to thousands of hours of archived material, over a decade's worth of full three-hour radio shows. The Phil Hendry Show, the greatest single radio show in the history of man on this planet. Yeah, I think we could make that argument. In any event, you will have the right to, as I say, thousands of hours of listening pleasure, our video cast, as well as our daily podcast, as well as a number of other things, video casts from the past, our old video shows, as well as interviews and TV pilots. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. Join us and have a ball, baby. 877-876. Oh, and one other thing, our souvenir shop is wide open. The Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies, which have been on sale there for months now, going like hotcakes, baby. So pick one up. We've already sold out, I think, of a couple of sizes, although we are reordering. So get on over there and check out what we have for you at the Phil Hendry Shop. Now, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley is also president of the Parent Teacher Organization there, joining us online tonight to talk about the parole hearing of Charles Manson. And you heard what I just said, Bobby. And you're from California, right?
That's correct, Phil, yeah.
And I am as well, but I was, I don't know if you were around when these horrific crimes took place.
No, Phil, I was not. I was born a few years after that.
All right, well, I was, and it was terrifying for a lot of people, but more to the point, we saw firsthand the effect this man had on these young people who were a part of his so-called family, or whatever you want to call it, and the statements that he made, and the carnival that surrounded the trial, and the carving of swastikas into the foreheads, and calling people pigs, and even the counterculture, some people in the counterculture, one of them the wife of William Ayers, Bernadette, I forget her name.
Was it Bernadette Dorn?
I don't know her name. There's two Bernadettes that were happening back in those days. One was Irish and the other's American. But in any event, saying that, hey, wow, they really put it on the pigs. What is your attitude on this?
Well, Phil, obviously I take it you don't believe that Charles Manson should be released.
No, I absolutely do not. No.
And, Phil, I don't know initially how I felt about it. There's a whole generation of us who, as I mentioned, we were not born when... Charles Manson was around, and the family was around, and they were doing what they did. But I ask you to think of something, Phil, and the reason why I'm asking you is because I had our homeowners association meeting on Friday of last week suspended for just a few minutes because in the middle of this meeting I had a thought, and I wanted to I wanted to sort of run it by our membership, and we sort of stopped the meeting.
And Bobby made an announcement.
That's Steve's here, too.
Steve, Mr. Dooley, how you doing?
Good, Phil.
I made an announcement. I said I want to suspend the meeting briefly here, if I could, because I want to ask a question. And I had everyone draw their chairs in a little bit closer. And I said, let me ask you something. And I said, this has to do with Charles Manson's hearing on parole. Let me ask you all a question. And everyone was waiting, and I said, who did Charles Manson kill? And I waited, and I waited.
Yeah, it's almost like we're telling a joke. Beat.
Yeah, I gave it like three beats, two, three. And I saw there was really no answer. And one woman, I forget who it was, she said, well, you know, she said something really not very informed. She said, well, Squeaky Fromm killed someone. I don't know what she said. And I said, no, she didn't. No, she didn't. I think it was Marilyn, right?
Yeah, Marilyn Hudson.
I said, no, she didn't, Marilyn. And Marilyn had gotten up, and I said, would you please sit down? I said, no, she didn't, Marilyn. Now sit down. I said, the answer is Charles Manson didn't kill anyone. Now, I don't know, Phil, I'm of a younger generation. But the last time I checked, if you don't kill someone, you don't go to prison.
I know. We weren't talking about that.
So I said this.
Well.
Now, hold on for a minute. Hold on. So I said this to the Homeowners Association meeting that we were having. I said, the last time I checked, when you don't kill anyone, you don't go to jail. And again, Steve, what happened?
Well, we gave it another beat.
Beat. All I saw were people's eyes going wide. And all I saw were people's mouths opening up. And everyone was essentially saying the same thing. Oh, my God. We didn't know. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone. I said, Charles Manson didn't kill no one. Okay? And when you're in a situation like that, and I've been our Homeowners Association president now, Phil, for 11 years, you really get to know people, you get to know their weaknesses, you get to know their strengths. You get to know the people, and you know what they need when you are leading a Homeowners Association like ours, when you're leading a group meeting like this. You know who the people are that are going to understand what you're saying. You know the ones that maybe need some help. Marilyn was one of those. She had the lady who had gotten up and said, oh, Squeaky Fromm. And I said, no, she didn't. Marilyn, please sit down. And you don't want to talk to people that way. And you don't want to say to them, you're only hurting us. You're only harming us. Please sit down. And please don't open your mouth again. There's a wonderful line, Phil.
Can I say something?
Let me just finish this up. There's a wonderful line at the end of the play, 12 Angry Men, that one of the boys was reading for high school, for high school class. For English class. When one of the characters says to another, he says, "Sit down and don't open your mouth again." It's said at the very end.
I know the play, yeah, the teleplay.
What do you mean, the teleplay?
Well, it was a teleplay. It was written for television, when you say the play. But I know it. I know the play. And it was in the film, E.G. Marshall says it to Ed Begley. He says, "Sit down and..."
Not Ed Begley Jr.
No.
Ed Begley Jr.'s father is a very fine actor. He says, "Sit down and don't open your mouth again."
Right. And that's what I said to Marilyn. I said, "No, she didn't, Marilyn. Now sit down and don't you open your mouth again." What I said was this, Phil, and what got their attention and what opened their eyes and what I'm hoping to bring to your show tonight. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone.
I know.
Charles Manson was the leader of a family.
But can I make a comment?
I just want to finish this point.
I tell you what, I'll make the comment after the break, but we do have to break.
Let me just finish this point. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone, Phil. Tex Watson did. Susan did. Krenwinkel did.
Right.
But Charles Manson did not.
So you are in favor of him being paroled?
I'm not going to say I am, and I'm not going to say that I'm not. It's food for thought. And that's what I said to our homeowners meeting. I said, food for thought. And people walked out of there. Their eyes were wide. I could tell they were still discussing it as they were leaving. And that's what you like to see from a meeting that you're leading, whether it is about the Homeowners Association and the issues that we face, or these larger issues in life, Phil. When I said to them, who did Charles Manson kill, it really just blew their minds, to use a phrase. It really did. And people walked out of there wondering, my God, have we kept an innocent man locked up? I don't think we have.
Oh, well, that's nice to know.
Well, but Phil, do you understand the point that I'm making?
No, I do understand what you're saying. Let me take a break here. Bobby and Steve Dooley on with us here. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here, and I'm not trying to talk behind Bobby's back. I just got to get going. About Charles Manson and his parole hearing. The question that was raised by CNN, which was a ridiculous, contrived question, should he be paroled? Well, Bobby Dooley is on the line with us saying he didn't really kill anybody. Never mind the fact that he ordered these people to kill, that he assaulted Gary Hinman, that Charles Manson was as much a killer as Jim Jones or Adolf Hitler. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, live from the El Pacifico every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It is Bobby Dooley, a guest from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, on the line with us as we talk about Charles Manson and Charles Manson's parole hearing. This is to ascertain whether this man, Charles Manson, recognized as one of the most profoundly wicked individuals in the history of American criminality, whether this guy is going to be released on parole. And the latest news, by the way, a parole board is going to review psychological reports and statements of victims as it considers the case of mass murderer Charles Manson coming up on Wednesday. The board meets Wednesday morning for what will be Manson's 12th attempt at parole. My understanding is Manson is not going to be there. Bobby Dooley joining us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. So you had this meeting with the homeowners, and you said to them in the middle of a homeowners meeting.
Yeah, right in the middle of our homeowners meeting.
What did you say?
Well, I said to them, because I had seen the news that morning, and I was really, I was just interested in the case, and I said to them, think about it. Charles Manson never really killed anyone. Well, you could have heard a pin drop. People's eyes, you know, sometimes homeowners association meetings can be very wearying, and the minutia can tend to really create a difficulty for the listener to keep their eyes open sometimes, you know. But all of a sudden, people's eyes widened. And,
well, and you're talking to people who are, you said, were not born?
A lot of them are my age or younger. A lot of them are older. But even the older ones looked at me and went, oh, my God. He didn't. And that's what people don't remember. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone.
I'm just based on that, I think they should let him.
I haven't made my mind up.
But you say, Mr. Dooley, he should be.
Yeah.
I haven't made my mind up yet.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take a phone call. I obviously have some very definite opinions about this, but I'll just... take a phone call here. We have a gentleman on the line. Yes, sir, go ahead. I forget who this is. Robert or John? I forget. That's Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, it's Robert. Yeah. She is correct. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone. However, the people who died wouldn't have died if not for Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm. What? I don't understand.
Obviously, you don't. If Charles, take Charles Manson out of the equation, these people wouldn't be dead.
Well, isn't that a little bit like saying, take booze out of the equation, and people are not drunk drivers, and yet we don't haul Seagrams in front of a court of law and charge them with manslaughter?
It's obvious that the young lady on the phone needs to do a little bit of homework. If she would... Yeah, she says really well, but she really doesn't understand.
Phil, well, what do I understand?
Thanks for your time. This is going nowhere. Bye-bye now.
I appreciate your call. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And
well, obviously, that man...
Bobby made her point, though, with that man.
Obviously, that man was... getting a little bit overwhelmed by the logic of what I'm saying, Phil.
No, I don't. I think he was really frustrated.
Well, that's pretty easy. I don't think he was frustrated, no. I think he was overwhelmed by the logic of what I said.
I think what happened to him, and it may be true of a lot of people, there's so much news about, there's been so much talked about the Manson trial and about the Manson murders. And
well, even though he's called a Manson murder, he got killed, but...
Right there, and Steve made a very good point. Why do you call it the Manson murders anyway? Can you tell me that?
I'm going to go back, Bobby, if you'll just listen to me for a second. I want to go back to what I was saying.
Yeah, but why is it called the Manson murders?
I'm going to go back to what I was saying. The gentleman was frustrated, I believe, because there has been so much that has been explained and talked about in this case. When you say, as you said, Bobby, that the liquor companies are not held responsible for drunk driving, you're right. A liquor company is not in and of itself a human being, although...
Well, wait a minute. Corporations aren't persons.
Yeah, corporations are persons, though.
Hold on. The other point is...
Well, what about that point?
Would you guys hold on and let me finish? The other point is that we recognize conspiracy to commit murder as a viable charge. We recognize that there's such a thing as the inducement to commit murder. And these people, such as Adolf Hitler, Jim Jones, what about them?
Well, Phil, I don't know about Adolf Hitler and Jim Jones. We're talking about Charles Manson. We're talking about... This guy, Charlie, if you want to call him that, or some people call him Charlie, I don't know.
I call him Charles Manson.
All right. He was a Svengali, yes. He was a man with a certain philosophy, yes. He was a man who had this wild and crazy idea of life, yes. And he had young people that lived with him.
Have you ever heard what Charlie said? He said, he shared his garbage dump with him, basically.
Yeah, he said that he shared his garbage dump with him, and what he means by that is...
By the way, I don't like... if you want to refer to him as Charlie, are you one of his family members?
Mr. Rainer, I don't find that funny. I'm a father.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, then why would you call him Charlie?
That's just the media.
It It's a media reference. And
well, all right, well, fine, you know, but I...
You know, if you could just hear me out. The point that I'm making is that Charles Manson had these kids that came to him. They listened to him, and then they went out and murdered four people. Wow. I mean, if I'm Charles Manson, I sit back and I go, boy.
Yeah, that's one for the books.
That's one for the books. You know, I'm sitting here, and I'm saying a lot of crazy things, and I'm sharing my garbage dump with them, and they come back one night, and they go, oh, hey, Charlie, guess what? We just murdered a movie star.
Wow. That would...
To me, Phil, that would be a game changer.
And what do you mean by a game changer? Let's just follow your logic, a game changer. If that's a game changer for Charles Manson, then why didn't he immediately get on the phone and call the Los Angeles County Police or Sheriff or...
Los Angeles County, Sugar County Police.
We don't have county police. They have those in Georgia.
Now, I understand. I misspoke.
Yeah, we have county police for the South.
Yeah, they got county police down South.
I understand that. If this was what Charles Manson's attitude was, which is, wow, there's one for the books, then why didn't he pick the phone up and call the police and say, I have information concerning those murders that were committed that I think you need to know?
Charles, you have to understand what Charlie's... His attitude was this. I don't control anyone. They do their own thing, as they used to say in those days.
I let them do their thing.
I let them do their thing. And I don't control anyone. I'm sure when they came back and they said, hey, Charlie, guess what? We just murdered a movie star. I'm sure he went, what?
But he's not going to tell them what to do.
He's not controlling them.
Hold on. I'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. We'll take your phone calls on the other side of this. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, really? Oh,
God, man.
I know. Lighten up.
Yeah, lighten up.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us here as we talk about this parole hearing. Charles Manson's on Wednesday. And I have to tell you, Ms. Dooley, I don't think that there is anybody that I know, and you've got to be the first, who would think that Charles Manson should be released on parole. Now, I understand your reasons for this. You say that Charles Manson has never killed anyone. You know that there's evidence, and it was testified to, and Charles Manson admitted it himself, that he viciously assaulted Gary Hinman before Gary Hinman was stabbed to death by the this man, Beausoleil, and I think Susan Atkins.
I know, Phil, I've gone over the record. I'm not saying that I'm an absolute expert on the record, but I've gone over the record.
But very clearly, the man's violent.
Very clearly, Charles Manson has had in his time... Dust-ups?
I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he's a little guy. He's a small, wiry guy who obviously had to fight his way out of a lot of things in prison, in juvenile detention, in juvenile hall, and eventually as an adult. And now we know he, and I asked you this question before, you know.
You know, Phil, that's going to interrupt you, but you betrayed right there in that little... that little moment that you were speaking, you sort of betrayed a lack of knowledge yourself because you were saying, well, he's violent and
Yeah, you didn't seem very clear.
You didn't seem clear. And
Charles Manson has a long prison record, juvenile detention record, a history of violence in prison, fights. He's existed on the outside as a man who has come from the culture of prison and prison life, carried weapons, carried guns, carried knives. I don't think it takes a stretch of the imagination to, you know, to figure out that this is a guy that has gotten by both on his wits and violently. Do you think that I'm wrong?
I'll tell you what I think. Charles Manson, and this is what I know, Charles Manson never killed anyone. And
what about Adolf Hitler?
That's dirty pool.
That is, yeah, that's what Steve's father calls dirty pool. That's not relevant. And
why is that not relevant? Why is it not relevant that the greatest mass murderer in the history of the world never killed anybody?
It's not relevant because we're not talking about Adolf Hitler and giving speeches.
Yeah, Adolf Hitler got up and gave speeches, everything.
We're not talking about a man that had the benefit of the pomp and circumstance of statehood, of flags, of flashy cars, of a flashy uniform, the adulation of billions. We're talking about a skinny little drifter.
Come on. The psychological mechanism is the same. The Svengali complex, the ability to psychopathically lure...
But you know about him being what?
Are you saying that he was telepathic, or did you say he was...
I said psychopath, not telepath.
Because Charles Manson, and a lot of them said, had a way of luring and alluring you. And you, one of the things you have to be aware of, Bill, and this is something spoken... I'm speaking as a woman. Women know this, men don't. Charles Manson has a way of drawing women in. I can see it. Other women can see it. And unless you know that, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
What, are you telling me you're attracted to him?
I didn't say I was attracted to him. I can see the attraction. The attraction. But I didn't say I was...
But my wife talked to him. My wife...
Steve, I told you, Steve, that I found him interesting.
Yeah, I know, but you talk about like you want to get nude.
I didn't say I wanted to get nude. I said I found him interesting. Interesting.
But that's not sex.
I didn't say anything about sex. I didn't say anything about taking my clothes off.
Well, you mentioned about underwear.
When I talked about my underwear, I was talking about if it ever came to that, yes, my underwear would have to come off.
All right, you guys are talking among yourselves here, okay? Let's take a phone call.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, let's talk about the sexuality.
I'm not sexually interested in Charles Manson so much as I can tell you, Steve, and you, Mr. Hendry, and any other man listening, that women understand the allure, of a Charles Manson.
Okay. Underwear.
Well, God, you're really hung up on the underwear thing.
All right, can we not talk among ourselves and we can get back to taking some phone calls? You know?
I'd be happy to.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Jeff, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hey, Mr. Hendry. How are you doing this evening? I'm enjoying your program, and I wanted to...
I'm doing good, Jeff.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to the lady about Charles Manson. I've done a great deal of reading on Charles Manson. And what I've read about him.
Right.
And I really don't think you're saying things from a very informed position, if I could just say, ma'am. Because first of all, you got to understand, Charles Manson, okay, would you want him, I mean, the one point that I want to make, Mr. Henry, would you want to have Charles, if you think Charles Manson should be allowed to go out on... free of the prison, okay, on parole?
Yes.
Would you say to him, okay, yeah, you're free on parole, come down and stay at my house? Because let me tell you something, a lot of people that are just out of prison, they need to find a place to stay.
Okay, your phone broke up there. Say that again.
I didn't hear the last part.
I said a lot of people that are out of prison need to find a place to stay.
Are you asking me, is the young man asking me,
I'm just asking you, if you think Charles Manson is allowed to be out of prison, if he should be
out on parole.
Yeah, out on parole.
Oh, all right. And you're saying, you're asking me, would I have that man in my home?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that it's a fair question. I think it's a contrived question. I don't think there's any, in a million years, would there be any need for Charles Manson to...
Charles Manson's not going to make a beeline down to Western Estates, Butler.
Yeah, there's no... I don't think Charles Manson's going to make a beeline down to Western Estates and say, oh, let me knock on Bobby Dooley's door.
Well, I mean, you're on the radio right now talking up how you think that he ought to be allowed to come out. you know.
I didn't hear you.
I said you're on the radio right now talking about how he should be out on parole.
Yes, I do think, and I don't think I'd really expressed an opinion.
I did. I think that.
I think Mr. Dooley of the four of us here believes that Charles Manson should be out on parole.
Well, I mean, I'll just tell you right now, from what I've read about Charles Manson, that's a suicide case. That's a suicide. If you want Charles Manson to come to your house, you're on a suicide mission. You know.
I didn't say anything about Charles Manson coming to our home.
Well, I'm just telling you, but he'd be out and come sleep here.
Well, that's something we'd have to talk about as husband and wife.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're asking me...
Well, look, man, if you think that he ought to be out on parole, Charles Manson ought to be out on parole after what he done, okay? And I know you say that he never killed anybody, which is sort of technically true, but like Mr. Henry was saying, okay, you know, Hitler... Guess what? Hitler didn't drop any gas pellets, okay? And Jim Jones didn't. Last I checked, Jim Jones wasn't standing there saying, "Oh, make sure you follow the Kool-Aid recipe," you know, Ms. Dooley.
Yes, I'm listening to you. Yes.
Okay, so why do you say then that?
I think she does not accept the premise that the two. She does not accept that the two things are similar.
I don't think that Adolf Hitler and Jim Jones, when Jim Jones killed Sharon Tate,
Jim Jones didn't kill Sharon Tate. It was Charles Manson.
It was who?
Charles Manson. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh yes. When Charles Manson killed Sharon Tate, first of all, he didn't kill Sharon Tate. Tex Watson and Susan Atkins and Patricia Winkle did because they had some idea.
Her name is Patricia Krenwinkle, by the way.
Patricia Winkle's name, yeah.
No, I said Patricia Winkle.
Patricia Krenwinkle is her name.
I'm sorry, Krenwinkle. When they killed whoever they killed, and I know they killed Busakowski or some name like that.
Wojciech Frykowski. You know, let's have a little respect for the people that died. Okay,
Mr. Henry, I have nothing but respect for the...
Well, then saying Buczykowski, his name is...
Your name is Trent Bullish. Oh, wow, man.
Yes, well, no, my husband Steve is right.
No, it's not a hard name. It may be Polish, it's not a hard name. Wojciech Frykowski, that was the man's name. That man lost his life. That man fought for his life, viciously fought for his life. Took a long time to kill Mr. Frykowski because he kept fighting off his attackers, people laying into him over and over and over again.
God, well, toot toot.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
What?
What are you talking about?
Is he being serious with that? The Marseillaise, the French national anthem?
Phil, you're getting all dramatic about it.
It was very dramatic. It was dramatic. It was four people getting butchered alive. It was very dramatic.
That's right, Mr. Henry. I think Mr. Henry's right.
No, I'm not talking to the hippie right now. I'm talking to you, Mr. Henry.
Fine, talk to me.
You got all dramatic, and you got all, you know, and he fought off his attack. And so Steve made a joke.
Not a place to make a joke. Not a place to make a joke. That man did fight for his life. And his name is Wojciech Frykowski. Or Frykowski, if I'm...
Oh, yeah, look, see, you're all carving it up.
I'm trying to get the man's name. I'm trying to give him the dignity of having his name pronounced right.
And what about this coffee heiress, little rich girl?
The little rich girl? Do you know anything about these people that died?
I know that they were all rich. And
well, then you don't know half as much as you think. Abigail Folger was a woman who inherited a lot of money. She wanted to make a difference. This is a woman that volunteered to help inner-city kids. This is a woman that was out every day of her life working in some charity to help people who had nothing. She didn't have to go out and do any of that stuff. She wanted to make it. She wanted to be something more than a rich kid. She was out teaching people to read. She was out working at food banks.
You know, Mr. Henry, you're making my way.
You are trying to embarrass me and my...
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I apologize. We're talking, should Charles Manson be paroled? Three guesses what my opinion is. We'll be right back.
Truth, is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Forgive you.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL, Bobby Dooley and Stephen Dooley, and I thank the young man for calling as we're talking about Charles Manson. Should Charles Manson be paroled from prison where he is currently in a special unit? It is a protective custody unit, if you will, or protective housing, because of the status, if you will, or the notoriety of Charles Manson. Here is Rodney. Rodney, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley.
All right. Well, what I was saying was, is being my face to very much paper, what I was saying, Charles Manson, but anything else is I've kept under wraps. Mm-hmm. And what I said under wraps is, he said, it's nothing kept under wraps. So what I was saying was, is when he stole from, what's his name? His name was, I think, Vic Morse or something like that. He stole from an elderly woman, and I said he's done very bad things to very bad people.
Are you saying that Charles Manson had a man killed who had hurt an old lady?
He didn't hurt her. He just he went up to her and he stole and didn't ever admit up to it. Well, another thing is if this is no irrelevancy of anything of what the Charles Manson conversation, but Al Capone, a very well known mobster. As a younger man, didn't lead on to violence or anything like that, but also led a very bad reputation of being a violent person. Okay. So what I was saying about Charles Manson.
Where do you come from, anyway, sir? Where do you come from?
My husband wants to know where you come from.
Well, it's the other side of England in Switzerland, and it's right.
All right, yes, sir.
2 miles.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So you're from the United Kingdom. Okay.
Okay. That has nothing to do with
right, you're absolutely right. I just thought it was very interesting.
Well, anyway, what I was saying was, people that believe bad reputations is nothing compared to learning a lesson and being in captivity for a very long time. I do think, you know, after a while, if you were to be in captivity for a punishment of anything that you've done, that maybe you've learned your lesson after a while.
Not about captivity.
I was in, and I know my husband can speak to this, Rodney, that Steve was up at the Dean Wheeler. This is a men's camp. I don't know if you're familiar with these, where they take men, and they go up, and they supposedly teach you how to reconnect with your masculinity, you know, this sort of tribal thing. And
yeah,
my husband Steve had gone up to this a couple of summers ago. It's run by a man named Dean Wheeler. Well, they were, speaking of captivity, they were not allowed to leave the compound. They were forced to work in clearing some sort of bamboo or something, Steve, right?
Seagrass.
They were forced to clear seagrass. And guess what else they had? They had those pits with the spikes at the bottom of them, in case they tried to get out.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, what do they call those? Bungee pits.
They're called a bungee spike.
No, it's not bungee. That's bungee cord.
No, bungee spike.
It is bungee spike.
What's
back in the ancient countries, they used to have them for people who could get
a bungee spike.
Yeah, bungee spike, yeah.
What are you trying to tell me? They had bungee spikes at this resort?
Yeah, resort. It was a resort, but I couldn't get out. One guy we knew fell in a bungee spike. That's why I was saying about him.
Yeah, they lost track of one of the guys.
Oh, this is horse dung. I haven't heard anything about it.
You know, Mr. Hendry, what I think is interesting, and Rodney, this will be educational for you. Mr. Hendry simply says everything is, as he calls it, bullcrap, if he just doesn't look like it.
I'm just wondering,
everybody has their own opinion, and every time I've done, we have 4 years of college, nobody likes their opinion to be proven wrong by anybody, so they always try to think of a different way to defend themselves.
I know.
and their political opinion.
That's exactly right.
Henry and any other in opposition of anything. Let everybody.
I just think there's a lot of stuff going on, and like this one lady they had who's.
We're getting way off the point here. We were talking about Charles.
Do it about Charles Manson, all the stuff what he did.
I know. I understand that. Rodney, thank you very much, sir, for your perspective. I do appreciate your phone call. 877-876-PHIL, 877.
I didn't understand anything he said, and I think that it's very rude of you, Mr. Henry, to put someone on the radio like that.
That guy's all talking like it's in Hollywood.
That's pretty funny. Steve said, did you hear what he said?
Yeah, I heard what he said. And
Steve said, it sounds like, you know, the guy's talking like he's an Oliver Twist. Didn't you say that, Steve?
Yeah, I did say that.
Yeah, I heard him the first time. I heard him. The gentleman had a very thick Cockney accent. I understood him.
Well, I didn't understand a word he said, and I agreed with him.
Bobby agreed with him.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, is going to join us. Harvey was with us on Friday night talking about legal issues, and I think it's only right that we get him on the line right now in San Marino tonight to talk about this and this Charles Manson parole hearing that's coming up on Wednesday. Harvey, welcome to the program.
Well, good to be with you.
And tell me what Manson's chances are.
Well, as the saying goes, Manson's chances are slim to none, especially because he's not going to appear. He's not going to appear at
the parole hearing.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Bobby Dooley.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, well, excuse me.
At the parole hearing, Harvey.
I didn't know. You didn't tell me I was going to be on with them.
Well, I'm sorry, but we have a constitutional right.
Yeah, that's our constitution.
Yeah, I know all about your constitutional rights, okay? I just didn't know Mr. Henry would have the colossal bad taste. Yeah! Ah.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me, but I've got a lung condition. I didn't know you'd have the colossal bad taste of putting me on the air with her.
Harvey, I told you that you would be on the air tonight. I didn't say that I would not have you. Now we're at the end of the hour. If you can hang on.
Hang on to what?
Hang on to the phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do I get to come back, Mr. Henry?
No.
You lousy.
We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And we are here at the shores of the El Pacifico in our News and Information Hour. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And it's just a change of pace here tonight. We have not only Bud Dickman. Bud, how you doing?
I'm good. Remember my name.
I know what your name is, Robert Leonard.
How you doing?
Good, Robert. And we have on the line with us R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. R.C., how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It sounded like you almost called me Brad.
Yeah, that's a douchebag name.
Yeah, the name Brad's almost as douche-like as Chad.
No.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you Brad. You're at Bradley Military Academy.
Yes, sir.
And RC's going to hang out with us.
Can I say one thing, Mr. Henry, before...
Go ahead.
Well, you were talking before the commercials ended about Knott's Berry Farm and the different, the kind of that whole paradigm.
Well, we were talking about Knott's Berry Farm as a place at entertainment, Bud.
Yeah, we're talking about how the comedians work on a jungle ride.
Yeah, but the jungle ride's not at Disneyland.
No, I know the jungle ride is Disneyland.
I mean, not Knott's Berry Farm.
Right. The jungle ride is... No, we were just saying that a lot of comedians you talk to some of these guys, they started out working on the Jungle Ride at Disneyland.
Yeah, that's because if you're on a Jungle Ride at Disneyland, you notice they're all, like, they're funny men and stuff.
They hire black people to be on a Jungle Ride?
Why not?
On account of being racist.
Why wouldn't they hire black people to be on a Jungle Ride? It would be more, probably more authentic.
Hey, man, I don't have to sit still for this racist... What are you doing?
Hey. Why don't you guys can it, okay?
I didn't mean to be racist or nothing.
Wouldn't it be more authentic?
Well, I mean, they've already got natives and stuff.
Yeah, but they're made out of plastic.
All right, let's get off the kick of whether it's more authentic. What if you gave a jungle ride? What if you're on a jungle ride at Disney? That's a white guy. Maybe he's a traitor. Maybe he's one of the.
What do you mean a traitor?
Yeah,
a T-R-A-D-E-R traitor. Maybe he's one of those South African jackballs. You know.
Well, that's kind of racist to say that. And
oh, why don't you give it a rest? Okay, I'm not going to get into some political discussion about Africa and whether it's right to have a white guy on the jungle ride. That's what they got. Why, they mostly have white guys in the jungle ride. I bet you if they put a black guy in the jungle ride, it would be there'd be hell to pay.
Yeah, there'd be hell to pay, man, on account of what these two jackballs said.
I'm not trying to be racist. I just said.
Yeah, why don't you just shut up, man?
Both of you guys, shut up.
Looks like I really stirred up a kettle of dog doo-doo with that one, didn't I?
Well, no, but you know that when you bring these things up, Mr. Collins, if I may be formal.
I'd rather you call me R.C.
Yeah, it's probably more cuddly.
Shut up, you gay.
All right. Oh, God. I want you guys to take my lead on these discussions tonight. Otherwise, I'm going to have to beat somebody up. And I really don't feel like doing it tonight, okay? It's been kind of a long weekend, and I'm just now coming to the end of it.
What'd you get, like a 3-day weekend?
No, I did not. I was working yesterday on a TV show. Thank you very much.
Well, okay, so big deal, so you're a TV star.
No, I'm just saying. Anyway, what do you want to say about this? We can move on.
Well, I was just saying that when you guys were talking about Disneyland had a jungle ride.
Yeah, and most of stand-up comedian worked there.
A lot of stand-up comics worked on the jungle ride.
Okay, so I was saying that Steve Martin one time worked at Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, I thought that pretty interesting.
I didn't know that. Yeah, Steve Martin worked at Knott's Berry Farm playing a banjo, telling jokes.
Yeah, he worked in one of them, you know, like old-timey saloon places or something like that. I'm not sure which one it was.
Was he on a jungle ride, though?
No, he wasn't on a jungle ride. There ain't no jungle ride at the Knott's Berry Farm. What, are you slow or something?
What do you mean jungle ride, man? I ain't got one.
Yeah, I know, but I just...
They got a mine train.
A mime train?
No, mine. M-I-N-E.
Mine train, not a mime train.
Damn, people are doing stuff but not talking.
Mine train, not a mime train.
Hey, take it easy, man.
Well, what is it with this guy?
I didn't hear too good, sorry.
The guy's got a plate in his head, so he does have an excuse.
All right, I'm sorry, bud. I didn't mean to yell at you.
Oh, just trying to find out stuff.
Oh, take it easy.
No, he's crying.
Take it easy. I'm sorry I yelled at you, okay? It's a mine train, bud. M-I-N-E.
What's that mean?
It means one of the old-time mine trains, man. When they used to take the train and it would go into the mine and it would get the, you know...
Yeah, it would get the precious gems and the diamonds and everything like that.
You mean like a miner or something?
Yeah, like a miner. And they'd go in and they'd get their gold, you know, the miners, you know...
Yeah, the 49ers.
Yeah, just like that song. In a cavern, excavating for a mine, was a miner 49er.
And he had sex with his daughter, Caroline.
Oh, my... Will you
Yeah, you were real balling there a minute ago. I'm telling you, man.
Mr. Henry, I didn't say nothing bad.
No, but you laughed. So Knott's Berry Farm is where Steve Martin worked, playing the banjo, you know.
Yeah, singing the blues.
Playing the banjo, singing the blues, whatever the hell he did. And so...
But Mr. Henry, I've got the reason why I brought it up is I've got the background on how Knott's Berry Farm started. Because I know Bud likes it, and I like it, too. In many ways, it's superior to Disneyland.
I know it's a lot older than Disneyland, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's a year older. It's a year older than Disneyland, yeah.
Well, still, in amusement park terms, that's a long time. That comes out there. That could be hundreds of years, because... man, it takes a lot to get an amusement park made. You'd have to short blank every cannibal in the Congo. And
hey, man, come on now.
What is it with you guys?
Sorry.
Short blank every cannibal in the Congo. You know what? I'm gonna hang up on all of you, okay?
Can't hang up on me. I'm the only one on a phone.
I understand that, but I'm gonna tell you guys right now. You know what good taste is. You know the boundaries of taste. You know the parameters. Why do you continually stray over those lines? It's insulting to Robert. You've worked with Robert a long time.
He's always making fun about tards.
No, I'm not, man. I make jokes about a guy with a plate in his head.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, we'll stop. You guys make jokes about anything you want. Don't make jokes about each other.
Guy can't make jokes about me, though.
Yeah, I can. I make a joke about a guy who's only got one testicle.
Shut up.
Okay. So what about Knott's Berry Farm?
Knott's Berry Farm? Can't believe it.
Well, you do only have one testicle.
Yeah, because I had a ball cancer.
Yeah, don't you have Uniball?
No, I've got Phantom Ball.
What is Phantom Ball?
It's when... Oh, God, I can't believe you don't know this.
You gotta count up to Phantom Arm, same thing. Yeah, you ain't never heard of Phantom Ball. No, I haven't.
It's when, just like if a guy loses his arm, and he's walking down the street, and he thinks he's got an arm, he'll reach over and scratch it. Same thing with Phantom Ball.
Okay, I understand.
So anyway, when old man Knott's, he first started Knott's Berry Farm one day when he was trying to sell some berries or whatever he grows, and he's trying to get people to stop their cars at the side of the road to buy the berries. Well, the people were stopping and everything, and they wanted to get more and more and more and more. So old man Knott's said to old lady Knott's, he goes, hey, we're getting a lot of, you know, customers for the berries, but they're having to wait for them, and they're bored to tears. And you're just sitting around doing nothing. Get your ass in the kitchen and get some chicken dinners cooked up. Otherwise, this right hand has seen it all. And anyway...
Yeah.
Get your ass!
What a horrible story.
Well, he did. How else are you going to get her in there? Hey, woman, get in there and start cooking up some of the chicken dinners.
I'm sure this right hand has seen it all.
Yeah, this right testicle.
Okay, thank you. You guys shut up.
It's pretty good.
So Knott's Berry Farm, huh, was started when old man Knott said to his wife, get in there and cook up some chicken dinners, otherwise this right hand has seen it all. God. We'll be right back with this evening's news, such as it is. I guess the biggest story is that Santorum quit. The other big story is that George Zimmerman's attorneys quit. Let's get into that story. It's interesting. It's very weird, and it's probably not all that unexpected. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Come on, old lady. Get in there and make me a chicken dinner.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Never be able to do that.
Well, you're wrong. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. R.C. Collins with us tonight, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We were just briefly. What I asked you guys, because all of you guys saw Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, right?
Yeah, I did.
Did you, Bud?
I seen it yet? No.
R.C.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. In the movie, which supposedly takes place in the early 70s, there's a very famous British food chain or hamburger chain. You can see their logo, and I just don't know...
Well, which one are you talking about?
Talking about Wimpy.
Yeah, I'm talking about Wimpy Burgers. Wimpy is a famous chain in the UK. It's a hamburger chain, not unlike our McDonald's, although when I had a Wimpy Burger, it was in the 80s. It wasn't all that hot, but I hear it's gotten better.
Well, I'm not familiar with it at all, and I went to England one time with Father... And
yeah, does your dad own a factory over there?
He does now. This is when Father was scouting for factory locations.
Okay, well, in any event, I don't know if Wimpy Burger was around then. When were you there?
Well, I was there in the early 2000s, so So Wimpy Burger might not have come around by then.
No, man, he said Wimpy Burger there in 73. No, I didn't say it was there in 73. I'm saying I don't know if it was.
Yeah, you did. It says in the movie.
The movie takes place in 1973, but the movie was actually shot in 2011 or 10.
What?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Are you guys listening to me, or are you just still sitting there thumbing it? I said...
What do you mean thumbing it? I'm listening to what you're saying.
No, you're not. I said, in the movie, now my right arm. What happened to my right? My left shoulder was bad.
Man, what, you gotta quit.
Yeah, man, what'd you do, change hands? I had to beat your ass just for... Get out of here with that. I said, in the movie, Tinker, Taylor, Soldier, Taylor. No, it wasn't. It was Tinker...
I know what it was, but it was Tinker, Taylor, Sailor, Taylor.
No, it wasn't. It was Tinker, Taylor, Soldier, Sailor.
Yeah.
Tinker, Taylor, Soldier, Spy.
Tinker, Taylor, Sailor, Spy.
Yeah, Tinker, Sailor, Taylor, Spy.
Tinker, Sailor... Beat ass on somebody.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
What happened to RC?
I put him on hold so he didn't have to hear what was about to happen. You still there?
Yeah, what'd you do?
Kicked his ass. Tinker, Taylor, Soldier, Spy. And in the movie, which takes place in 1970-something, it isn't actually 1970-something because the movie was shot in 2011. Okay?
No.
I mean, no, I'm confused.
Yeah, I guess I am too.
Yeah, you're really confused.
Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. So in that movie, there's a Wimpy Burger. I'm just saying, in the early 70s, I don't know if Wimpy Burger was... Maybe it was. Maybe I'm just yammering on. I don't know. God, my arm hurts.
Well, I do know, Mr. Henry, that Tinker Taylor... Or I shouldn't say Tinker Taylor. Tinker Taylor was around, but not really.
What does that mean?
What are you talking about?
I mean, in the early 1970s... The Tinker Taylor was around.
You mean the events that might have taken place were happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not really.
Why not really?
Oh, Kevin, he hadn't written a book yet.
Doesn't mean the events aren't taking place. It means that he hadn't written the book yet. That's all that means. God. All right, I don't know why we got...
Well, you said you wanted to talk about something that you were going to do a quiz and everything.
Yeah, you want to make it all a big quiz, and nobody gave a damn.
Okay, well, great. You didn't give a damn, so I'm glad we got rid of that. I thought maybe we could get rid of it quickly, but I guess not. Man. All right, it's the news and information hour. Now, let's get down to brass tacks here with our George Zimmerman story. This is an interesting story. This thing that happened today is a mind blower. I don't know if I brought my glasses with me or not. Bud, do you know where they are?
This is me here.
Thank you. Bud, do you know where they are?
Yeah, probably where your iPhone is, and I don't know where that is either.
Thank you very much. That was great.
You're welcome.
Here's my iPhone. In any event, George Zimmerman in Sanford, Florida, the Trayvon Martin case took a bizarre turn on Tuesday when George Zimmerman's attorneys quit. They were complaining that they had lost all contact with him and that he had called the prosecutor and talked to a TV host after they told him not to speak to anybody.
Boy, this guy's really screwing the pooch on this one. I'll tell you that much right now. And
anyway, and late Tuesday, Special Prosecutor Angela Corey said she would announce new information about the controversial case within 72 hours.
How many days is that?
Yeah.
72 hours is 3 days, 4 days. I don't know. 3 days.
No, it's 4 days.
No, it's not. It's 3 days. 48 and 20 is 68. And yeah, it's three. It's
4 days.
3 days. Attorney Craig Soner and Hal Urig portrayed the former Neighborhood Watch volunteer as erratic and his mental state as shaky, and they expressed fear for his health under the pressure that's been building since he shot and killed Martin, an unarmed black teenager, on February the 26th. Said the attorneys, this is Mr. Soner speaking, As of the last couple of days, he has not returned phone calls, text messages, or emails, he said at the news conference outside Seminole County Courthouse in Sanford, Florida. He's gone out on his own. I'm not sure what he's doing or who he's talking to. I cannot go forward speaking to the public about George Zimmerman and this case as representing him because I have lost contact with him. Now, what that means is...
Yeah, I don't understand.
What that means is... They told their client, don't talk to anybody. And if there's one thing that lawyers tell you, when something's being litigated, either on your behalf or it's something being litigated against you, they tell you, don't say anything.
Why do they always tell you not to say nothing? Father always says that, too, whenever he gets sued.
Well, you know what? Don't talk so much about your dad.
Why not? I love Father.
That's fine. Don't talk about his legal stuff.
I don't hear about it. One time, this lady said that he touched her on the...
Okay. In any event, the attorneys will tell you don't say anything because when you do, the opposition will take your words and use them in ways that you can't even imagine. You may say something as innocent as, well, you know what? I never went near that girl. Those guys will take that. And they will read it in court. They might read it as part of the public record. They may say, Mr. So-and-so said, you know what, I never went near that girl. Well, we do know that on October the 3rd he went near her, and we do know that on October the 10th he went near her, and we do know that... And they will take all of these, you know, these statements that you make.
Yeah, but if you said you'd go near her, then they'd say that they're lying.
Yeah, what about that? If you say you didn't go near her...
Maybe when you said you didn't go near her, maybe you were talking about that specific event that they're talking about. Maybe they weren't talking about the 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 other times that you did go near. Maybe you worked with her. So the lawyers are going to take this from the opposition. You see how he's misconstruing the truth? He said he didn't go near her. Well, we know that he was with her at the time they had lunch on February the 23rd. And we know that he was... And we also have testimony... So they'll make it into what they want to make it into, and it can become quite a thicket of troubles for your own lawyer. That's what they tell you. Don't say anything. See? And so what Zimmerman has done is he's broken the cardinal rule of every client that any attorney ever had. He's talking. Now he did something that was absolutely unforgivable, and if I was a lawyer, I'd quit too. Not only is he talking, he talked to the prosecution.
Well, what's wrong with that? Maybe you want to tell the lady, hey, lady, I'm innocent of all of the charges what has been brought to me.
Wait, what do you mean that? They haven't charged him with no crime yet.
Well, they haven't charged him with a crime yet, but if he's going to be charged with a crime, the opposition in this will definitely be the prosecutor. And the men that are representing him, unless I'm completely stupid here, and George Zimmerman is even dumber than me, which he probably is, but whoever's doing the hiring for him, and maybe these guys offered their services. These guys are criminal defense attorneys. Okay? So you guys say he hasn't been charged with anything? Well, why does he have criminal defense attorneys?
Well, it stands to reason. If the guy, they're about ready to railroad the guy, throw a gaff hook into him and string him up nude for all to see, you know.
Well, whatever. So in other words, you're saying that they are criminal defense attorneys?
Well, yeah.
Okay, fine. Don't go through the whole soliloquy.
There's the music. You gotta shut up.
Yeah, you gotta shut up now.
Okay, so what? So big deal, so I'll shut up. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Bill Hendry Show.
What about it?
Well, that's because that's where they were transferring. Yep.
Hold on for a minute. Phil Hendry here with R.C. Collins, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard here this evening as we talk about the Charles Manson. We're back on Manson now. Now, what were you saying, RC?
Well, I was talking to Dan Northcraft, who works on your show.
Uh-huh.
And he said he's seen him when they transferred Manson to Pelican Bay.
Oh, really? They did that when they took him?
Man, I didn't know he was there.
Yeah. Remember in Training Day? You'll all be playing basketball in Pelican Bay.
Yeah. Shoe Project.
Hey.
I remember, I didn't even know what Shoe Project meant. You know?
Yeah, I know, Mr. Henry. You're all thinking you know about it, and you don't.
Okay, so I didn't.
It means special housing unit, okay? That's what Shoe Project means.
You're talking about being a shoe project in a special housing unit. That means you're in lockdown.
Yeah, you don't know that?
Yeah, neither did you. So don't give me that.
Yeah, so anyway.
Now, how do you know about it?
Don't worry about it. I've got friends, okay? I've had some friends that have had some rough times. And
yeah, sure. I'll bet you have.
I have. Chris Sorensen, what about him?
Is that the guy that you sacrificed a chicken with?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we sacrificed a chicken in the Amtrak tunnel.
Yeah, well, what he doesn't tell you about the sacrificed chicken, it was already dead. It was a barbecued chicken that they bought at Vaughn's.
Shut up. No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. All right, so anyway, Manson got transferred to where? To Pelican Bay.
Yeah. He got transferred to Pelican Bay and everything.
Just like in the movie.
What do you mean, just like in the movie? In the movie, Denzel Washington is telling those guys that they might go up to Pelican Bay. We're talking about Charles Manson going to Pelican Bay, although I don't think he's in Pelican Bay anymore, is he?
Well, what, in Pelican Bay literally or in the prison?
What?
What are you talking about?
I thought you meant, is he in Pelican Bay?
Is he in the prison?
No, he's at Corcoran.
Man, what an idiot, man. We're not talking about him being in Pelican Bay. We're talking about the prison.
Well?
Oh, you got to be dumber than you look. No, you didn't really think I meant in Pelican. All right, so anyway, enough about Manson. I hope he rots. I hope that guy dies sooner rather than later. There's only one problem I had personally, with the entire Charles Manson episode. I don't even have a problem with the fact that they commuted the sentence to the death. I'll tell you the thing about the death penalty for me. Here's the thing about the death penalty for me. I'm not opposed to the death penalty at all. Not at all. I'm in favor of it. But I don't get really wound up and crazy any longer when a guy... I personally think the death penalty in the state of California has been turned into... It's a mockery of the actual penalty. In other words, there are families who have suffered at the hands of these murderers who have been waiting for the sentence to be carried out on these murderers, and they continue to live on death row in California because of the numbers of appeals and the asinine judicial system in this state. And that is just like a slap to the face of those families. This is slapping them in the face every day that scum stays alive. And so I got no problem with the death penalty. Now, if somebody says to me, yeah, but you know what? If you keep them alive for the rest of their lives and they're forced to live for, 30, 40 years in prison, that's far worse than the death penalty. Generally, that person is an opponent of the death penalty. So then I have to ask myself the following question. So you're an opponent of the death penalty, but you're in favor of torture.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you, bud. So you're in favor of... Well, then what do you mean? Are you in favor of torture or are you not? You know?
Well, not torture. Keep the guy alive.
If you're opposed to the death penalty and you tell me, yeah, but I'm in favor of life in prison, and besides, Mr. Henry, that's much worse. Well, really? Then why are you opposed to the death penalty? I don't understand something. If it's much worse to keep a guy alive in prison than it is to give him the death penalty, then what are you opposed to the death penalty for? It's much worse to keep the guy alive in prison, and that's what you prefer over the death penalty. That must mean that you're in favor of torture or making the sentence even worse.
Well, maybe they are.
Yeah, but they never are. There are always people that are opposed to the death penalty. And then, of course, we have this group. People that are opposed to the death penalty, and then people who say, oh, he's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent. And those are generally people that are also opposed to the death penalty. There's a whole bunch of people that got... Everybody gets mixed together in these situations and these cases where you find opponents to a person being put to death. The Roger Coleman case, I always bring it up because it's such a classic example of when these people have been wrong. Nobody has ever proven that anybody has been put to death who was subsequently found not guilty.
Well, wait a second, Mr. Henry. You can't say that. That's not right.
Really? Then you show me the case. And I'm not talking about where maybe could be. I'm talking about proven case where someone was put to death, I mean by you know, state execution or federal execution in a reasonable period of time here. I mean, I'm sure that in the 19th century, when the prejudices of the people ran so high and police science was non-existent, I'm sure there were plenty of innocent people thrown into prison, and no question there were innocent people that were killed. But let's just talk about, you can't, I mean, in the 19th century, in every country in the world, that was going on. And as I like to say, and I do like to say it, much, much worse than here. But having said all of that, within a reasonable span, shall we say, let's say, for instance, in the last 50 years, an innocent man having been executed, and it was subsequently found out that he was innocent.
Well, I bet you there is a case and everything.
Yeah, you'd have to do research and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, go on, man. Get working on it.
Exactly. Get working on it. In the meantime, I will continue to make the claim that I'm making that no, it hasn't happened. But I will tell you, in at least the case of Roger Coleman and probably others, where people were saying, oh, an innocent man, oh, this poor innocent man. And even he had everybody conned. He had them all believing it. He had that poor lawyer in that Innocence Project. Oh, man.
What was that guy?
Huh?
What was that guy, the lawyer?
He was some well-meaning moron. I'm sorry to say it, but he was.
You can't call him a moron. He was a lawyer and stuff.
I don't care. He was a guy that was convinced. You know, it always happens this way. When you are convinced of something, you will throw out fact after fact after fact until just your worldview exists. That's not a scientific view. That's a prejudice view. When you are already convinced of something and you set out to prove that you're already right, you're not doing anybody any favors. And that's what this guy was doing. Until finally this Roger Coleman guy goes to his death. Everybody thinks he's innocent. The whole world thinks he's innocent. Time magazine had him on the cover. Here's an interesting thing about Time magazine. When Coleman was executed, was found to be guilty because they finally did test the DNA at the crime scene and it did match to Roger Coleman, Mr. Innocent, Mr. I never killed anybody, Mr. You're sending an innocent man to his death. When it finally did match and the Innocence Project stood there, that lawyer stood there like a poor, dumb, fumbling clown and he had to admit that he had been conned, and he did. I didn't see Time magazine report word one of any of it, man. Nothing. There wasn't anything. I went back the very week that DNA result was released. I went back to Time magazine just to see what they were. They didn't even mention it.
Well, they were embarrassed. You can't expect them to mention something like that on account of they had the guy on the cover.
Oh, yeah? Why not?
Well, I mean, they got a magazine to sell. Yeah, they have business considerations.
Ain't you never heard of that?
Ain't I never heard of... Yeah, sure. Business. Yeah, you're right. You guys are right. And besides, to make them look like a bunch of dumbasses, so yeah, business considerations.
Well, now you're saying that they're gutless.
That's pretty much what I'm saying. Hey, give a cigar bright boy over here. Hey, real bright boy over here. You better believe that's what I'm saying. They're gutless. So in any event, that's what happened there. And so now we have the death penalty modern times here. As I mean, you know, the turn of the 21st century. And every time there's some, you know, capital case before the people in the press, it always comes down to, no, he's innocent. He's innocent. He's innocent. Okay, well, if he's guilty, you're okay with the death penalty, right? No. Oh, well, then this is a death penalty thing, man. It's got nothing to do with whether he's innocent or not. Okay. Then there's the death penalty people who say, I don't believe in the death. You believe he should be in prison for the rest of his life? Yes. I guarantee you, in the coming months, you will not hear that argument any longer about how it's much worse, because it makes them sound like a bunch of fiends that really want to extract a torturous, you know, experience for this guy.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll tell you this much. If the guy is guilty, he should go to prison for the rest of his life. And I really believe that. And
what about the death penalty?
I don't believe the death penalty is right. on account of that's not man's right to kill a guy. And besides, okay, you're going to laugh. And
you're not going to say you're going to walk right into Mr. Henry's trap.
I don't care. I'm not walking into no trap. I'm not walking into no trap. Besides, it is more worse than to be dead.
Well, then how come you're against the death penalty?
Exactly.
What?
Why are you against the death penalty if it's worse?
If what's worse?
If life in prison is worse than the death penalty, how could you possibly be against the death penalty because it's not as bad as life in prison?
Because we don't have the right to take a guy's life.
Okay, I will go with you on that. I will accept that we don't have the right to take a guy's life. So why do you have to point out that the death penalty or that life in prison is worse?
Because it is.
Yeah, don't you get it?
Hey, bud, shut up.
God.
Just, no, I don't get it, to be honest with you. I don't get it. I don't understand how you can make that argument, how you can say the death penalty is against man's law. It's only God's right to take a man's life. Besides, so you want me to feel reassured that even though I shouldn't kill a guy, because that's God's right and not mine, don't worry about it, Phil, because the guy being in prison for the rest of his life is worse torture than being killed.
Exactly.
That's mental.
Yeah, it does sound kind of crazy, man.
Why does it sound crazy? Makes a whole bunch of sense to me, and it does to Bud, too. You don't know what time it is out on the street. And
Yeah, get out of here. It doesn't make any sense to anybody that has a brain in their head. So God only has the right to take a person's life, but man has the right to put a man in prison for the rest of his life, and that's much worse than him dying. Dying is way less of a punishment than life in prison. And yet, we cannot do that to him. We can't give him the deliverance of death, which is far less of a punishment than life in prison, because only God has the right to take that man's life, which would be a mercy compared to what man is about to do to him, put him in prison for the rest of his life. You ain't selling that to me, man. I ain't buying that. Forget it.
No, are you kidding me? That's stupid.
What are you talking about? God only has the right.
Yeah, well, you know something, Bud, I don't believe that. And now you're basing it on your Bible, and that's fine.
Don't talk bad about the Bible.
I'm not talking bad about it. I just don't. You guys have stretched and tortured that logic to the point where I can't even discuss this crap anymore.
Don't talk about God being crap neither. You didn't tell me God crap, you're saying you crap.
Your thinking is crap, is what I'm saying. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. News and Information Hour, but don't stick. No logic, that's for sure.
Speak for
truth
yourself. I'm
is
making sense.
Bitch.
No, you're
the
not.
Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, truth may be your bitch, but you're my bitch.
Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, after the show, you can go over to our website, philhendryshow.com. Check out our show log. It'll show you, you know, everything that happened during the show. And right there on our show log. Stay close to the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com, for show news, for things coming up, for different... we're always adding to our archives. We generally have a new item or two for the merchandise shop, some Phil Hendry appearance you know, on TV.
You didn't tell nobody about the TV show.
Well, that's true. I should talk about it. I was on National Terrorism Strike Force San Diego Sports Utility Vehicle. Was the name? Where's RC? RC, you know that show?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a satirization of the terrorism. I don't agree with it, but it's a pretty good, funny show anyway. And
what do you talk about?
Well, they said that. It's more like a satirize of a serial crime unit thing.
Yeah, it's like Miami CSI or something.
Yeah, you know, and it's a goofy, it's a goofy kind of a send-up of that. Well, Paul Scheer and Rebecca Romaine and Martin Starr and Kate Mulgrew and others in the cast. And I worked on an episode yesterday. I was really happy. I would tell you that it would be a great show to work on full-time. You know?
Well, Are they going to hire you to be on there full time?
I'm not going to speculate. No, no, they haven't. No, I'm not going to work on that show full time. I'm just saying it would be very nice.
Yeah, that's why you said that. You're hoping that they will. Yeah, you're kind of putting the feelers out there, ain't you?
No, get him out of here, will you?
Just hung up on RC.
Fine. Square it with his dad. Square it with father when he calls in to sue me. Besides, I needed to get rid of him so I could, you know, concentrate on talking about myself. So anyway, yeah. So yesterday I worked on an episode of the show. It was a lot of fun. Great crew. And I did work with those guys. And one of the guest stars, besides myself, if I'm a guest star, I don't even know if I was a guest star so much as maybe I was a featuring, you know.
What's the difference?
That just depends on where you are in the cast but or where you are in the credits. But I'm driving, and I don't ever recognize people until I put two and two together. I'm walking over toward where the set is, and I see a guy pull in, a gray-haired man with a goatee, and he pulls into a slot, and he's being talked to by an assistant, a production assistant, and she says, okay, you know, and go over here, and he goes into his dressing room, and he comes out, and then she comes against me, and so the two of us start walking over to the set. She's, oh, Phil, and this is Hal. And he says, hi, Phil, Hal Linden. I said, Hal Linden? I said, I didn't say this. He says, oh, I know your work. This guy was in a TV show called Barney Miller. And you don't know it, bud, do you?
I've never heard about it, but I have seen people what I heard of it.
I know about it.
You know Barney Miller? Okay. This show was a big hit, man. It was a big hit in the 70s. And Hal Linden has been in television before and since. He started on the Broadway stage and musical theater in the 50s. Did Broadway throughout the 60s, was a native of New York, and came to Los Angeles in the early 70s and finally landed this Barney Miller show, which was a big hit. And I was talking to him, and he said, it was funny, he says, I was named the number one newcomer of the year in 1975. He said, I was already 45. He said, I became a star in my 40s. But he still does theater and television. And all of a sudden, here he is on Paul's show. And I was talking to Paul Scheer, who's the producer of the show. He said, we didn't know whether we'd be able to get Hal Linden. The guy's a big star. He said, but we took a shot, you know, and asked for him. And the character that he played was hysterically funny. The plot of this thing is just bizarre and funny. And
what did you do?
I was one of I don't want to tell you about the show because I don't want to give it away, but I was one of the people that was a follower of Hal Linden's character.
What about Rebecca Romijn and Martin Starr?
Yeah, I had a scene with both of those guys, and there's another thing about Rebecca Romijn, who is, you know, very popular and among the guys. Yeah, I didn't even know who it was when I walked up to talk to some people. And then they introduced me to her, and
then you asked her out on a date.
No, I didn't. The woman's married. Besides, no, I'm there to work. But I did get a picture with her. So if you go to our website, you'll see a picture of me with Ms. Romijn, as well as Martin Starr, as well as Hal Linden. And there's a couple of shots there from the set of National Terrorism Strike Force San Diego Sports Utility Vehicle.
Man, that one hell of a name. Is that what they call that?
It's actually NTSF-SD-SUV. So check it out. It's on Adult Swim, and I believe it's on at midnight, I don't want to say, Wednesdays, maybe? Check it out. It's cool. It's a funny show. We had a lot of fun doing it. Just finally, one quick thing here, which you probably already know, but we'll just give you the official word. Rick Santorum's decision to leave the Republican presidential race boosted two candidacies. Mitt Romney was spared two more weeks of struggle before he could be crowned the presumptive nominee, even as Santorum set the stage for a future run for office. Santorum's announcement Tuesday that he would suspend his campaign effectively ending a bruising intra-party clash that many feared was harming Republicans' ability to take on President Obama in the fall. Though Romney remains a distance from the 1,144 delegates to needed to claim the nomination, he can now turn his full attention to combating his general election opponent. Boosted two candidacies? What other candidacy did he boost? Ron Paul or something? I don't know. So the guy that... It's funny, but I always knew it was going to be Romney. It wasn't going to be Palin. It wasn't going to be, you know... It was Romney. Gingrich, none of those guys. world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. Join us on our website, philhendryshow.com, for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. And, of course, we'll see you tonight, coming up tonight at 10 o'clock for another world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Adios.
You're a ghost.
That's a Rick and Suds out, but we'll take it.
Woo!
Phil Hendry.